to the Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Oh, hello. Alvin, yes. Welcome back, man.
Welcome back to you.
I just want to say that on my summer vacation,
yes,
I went to the car wash. Mm-hmm. I posted it on Instagram.
You did.
I went to the car wash, and I filmed the whole thing, and it was very exciting.
Were you riding on top of your car? And
no, I was inside the car. Traditionally, you ride inside the car. Okay, let's warn our viewers. In hour one today, we're going to complete our conversation with Mark Shaw. Mark Shaw claims that Robert F. Kennedy had Marilyn Monroe murdered.
Hmm.
He gives a lot of information. Johnny Russo has made that claim on this program. It's horrifying to think that this could be real. But you'll hear more later. Now, people want to watch the video. If you want to watch the video, folks, I'm going to say it again. YouTube canceled us. We're at war with YouTube because they're evil. They're working for the Chinese communists. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Who are we to judge whether torture and slavery are bad or good? You know, in these topsy-turvy times, we don't want to cast aspersions. But let's just, you know, sum it up by saying YouTube is evil, and they've canceled this program. So if you want to watch this as a TV program, you have to subscribe to our Rumble channel, or even easier for you, you go to EricMetaxas.com. That is my name, not the .com part. I added that later. Mm. EricMetaxas.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Now, the reason I'm asking you to do this, I'm begging you to do this, is because a couple of times a week we send you all of these programs as videos. We send photographs. We send extra stuff. Yesterday, I did a whole thing on Flag Day.
Yes.
Now, if you're not subscribed to the newsletter, you maybe didn't even know it was Flag Day. Yeah. Shame on you,
right.
Red Chinese communist you. So we want you to go to EricMetaxas.com. We want you to sign up for that. Alvin, what else can I do except beg people?
EricMetaxas.com. You must beg. Don't
be
ashamed.
They're missing stuff. I sent some amazing photographs of things I've been doing lately.
Yeah.
But the most important thing is these videos, which are no longer on YouTube because I probably forgot to mention it. They're evil. They're in bed with the communist, torturing communist Chinese. And so you have to subscribe to EricMetaxas.com.
Yeah, they said you violated their community standards. What community are they talking about?
Community standards is worshiping the living God publicly.
There you go.
Okay, so let's cut to the chase, Alvin.
Yes, we should.
We got a couple of things to talk about here. Speaking of evil, there's still slavery in the world.
Yeah.
This doesn't seem possible, but as long as mankind is fallen and apart from Jesus, that's the situation, there are going to be evil things like slavery. In Sudan, there are radical Muslims who have no theological problem with slavery, and they have enslaved people simply for being Christians, and CSI, Christian Solidarity International, is working to free those slaves. In fact, they're not only working to free those slaves, they are freeing those slaves, and the only problem is they need our help. So each person that they free, in order to set them up in a new life, first of all, to free them to do everything that they do, it's $250 a person, which is astonishing that in this day and age there is slavery and yet we can do something about it. Now, we're not blowing smoke.
Right.
This is not bureaucracy. This is an organization with boots on the ground, very, very lean and mean. They do this, you know, it's... You could be a billionaire or a zillionaire, and you couldn't free any slaves yourself. This is like they've established these networks over years and years and years in Sudan. And I have to say that we have an opportunity, an amazing opportunity to help. Sometimes people say, where do I give my money? God, you know, commands me to use my money for good. Where do I go? Well, we try to vet these organizations for you and these causes. So I can't think of anything more wonderful than being involved in actually freeing a slave. There's more information. You have to go to our radio website. It is MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Right.
If you go there, everything is there. But it's an amazing opportunity, really, because CSI, not only do they have ways, and this is kind of complicated, of getting these people out of actual slavery, but they then set them up in a new life. It's really beautiful. Yeah. Kevin McCullough has talked about it on this program.
Yeah, and he's going to talk more about it. There's a phone number, too. It's 888-253-3522. So call that number, 888-253-3522, and please give generously. This campaign only goes till the end of the month now, folks, so here's your opportunity.
And you know what? In case you didn't understand Albin's Pittsburgh accent, let me say this in kind of a mid-Atlantic accent. 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, mm-hmm. Y en español, 888-253-3522.
There you go.
That is the number in español.
Yeah, I've taught you all the Spanish you know.
You're incredible.
By the way, we're talking about communism. We're talking about enslavement. We're talking about what's happening in this country now.
If we could go to what a
listener writes. This is a great email. I know
we get letters. I want to say this again. People write me on my website, my Eric Metaxas website and the Metaxas Talk website, the radio website and my personal website. I read every single email that people send. It's getting tough because by the grace of God, many of you are writing to us. We love it. Mm-hmm. And we read everything. We can't respond to everything. And we certainly can't read everything on the air. But once in a while, somebody sends us something and I feel I'd like to read it. So this is from Michael Pop, real name.
Yeah.
He says, hey, I saw your interview with Huckabee on Newsmax. Now, Huckabee, the program, is on TBN, but it's re-aired on Newsmax, which is cool. And this person said, and by the way, if you didn't see that, you should sign up for my newsletter, ericmetaxas.com. So this person says, I saw your interview with Huckabee. I was born in Romania under a communist government dictatorship. My family came to America between 1985 and 1989. I've been trying for the last few years to speak out against the communist left and the Democrats, who are obviously in bed with the communist left. It's horrifying that this happened to a once good party. So this person writes, I also speak out against the weak Republicans, especially the leadership. Look, we do not need to single out Speaker McConnell. We don't need to be vicious and single out that skunk Mitch McConnell. All right, let's just leave him alone.
Yeah.
So the person writes, it seems the right only end up enabling the communist left. We're talking to you, Mitch. Unfortunately, recently I've noticed a global movement toward communism. The sad part is the ones on the left are so brainwashed, I'm not sure if we can break them free. I have people telling me I don't understand communism. Now, this person grew up in communist Romania. He says, I have people telling me I don't understand communism. They think they know better because they took a class in college.
Oh, boy.
They will sit there and actually argue with me, a person that's lived under the boot of communism. It just doesn't seem to click for these people on the left. I see this is not just in America, but all over the world. I believe the Great Reset is really about a global communism movement. Keep it up and say the truth always. Sincerely, Michael Pop. Michael, God bless you for this. And I want to say to all of my friends, listen to the people who've experienced communism. My mother and dad knew it up close. Many people have seen it up close. They are the ones warning us. They know what is coming. They know how it starts. It starts with weak rhino, what's the word I'm looking for? Gutless, invertebrate.
Cowardly.
Cowardly. This is a good word. Yes, yeah. Cowardly. Republicans enabling the crazy left. And I just want to warn you folks, this is real. So we thank you, Michael Pop, for writing this to us. And by the way, we should mention Nutramedics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Folks, Nutramedics. How do you think I got this tan? Nutramedics. That's right. If you're watching on video, if you're subscribed, ericmetaxas.com, you can see that I have a crazy tan.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is all natural.
It is.
Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC. You'll save big, 20% off. Nutramedics.com. Nutramedics.com. I tried to tell you. Nutramedics.com.
I'm sleeping and right in the middle of a good dream. Like all at once I wake up from something that keeps knocking at my brain. Before I go insane, I hold my pillow to my head and spring up in my bed, screaming out the words I dread. I think I love you.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like four? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year. And I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Raindrops are falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big for his bed, nothing seems.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Mark Shaw, the brand new book, Collateral Damage. This is a bit of a, you know, fire hose to drink from Mark Shaw. You've lived this, but for most of us, this is all just staggering information. It's important to know what happened. You say very clearly that Robert F. Kennedy was behind the murder of Marilyn Monroe. Have you ever asked his son, RFK Jr., about that?
Well, the Kennedys clam up. They fold the tent. I've sent the reporter who knew too much in denial of justice to Caroline Kennedy because I wanted her to know that Dorothy Kilgallen basically was writing that book for Random House that was going to expose who really killed her father. And that she should know that basically after, the wrong people knew that she was going to do that, that she was killed. I never heard from her. So the Kennedys, they clam up about this. You would hope that they would want to know the truth. And I think my theories are the most plausible with regard to what happened. I mean, basically, this book is a combination of three murder mysteries that really weren't mysteries at the time if anybody had done their homework and paid attention. Marilyn Monroe, I mean, everybody was screaming that she didn't commit suicide and all of that, yet no investigation. Dorothy Kilgallen, the same way. JFK, that Warren Commission was just unbelievable. J. Edgar Hoover shouting Oswald alone, Oswald alone, and then using the Warren Commission as a rubber stamp, no investigation again. So it's just unfortunate that, you know, everybody deserves an investigation. And let me just speak to that for a second. I've prepared a letter to George Gascon, I think is how you pronounce his name, the Los Angeles County District Attorney, requesting, demanding that he reopen Marilyn Monroe's death, based on all the new evidence that I have. The letter has a 75-page exhibit of all the evidence in the book. And I've sent it. I'm going to send him the book. I'm going to do that next week. Also, I can tell you, as far as Dorothy Kilgallen's murder goes, I finally got the New York City Police Department through its cold case squad. I had a detective from there get in touch with me about a month ago. And for all practical purposes, they're telling me they're going to investigate Dorothy Kilgallen's death. So I'm after the truth with regard to these agencies looking at all the new evidence and hopefully giving these two women the justice they deserve.
Well, we've given short shrift to Dorothy Kilgallen's death. She died in 65. You say that the mob killed her because she was writing about how JFK was killed. Was it the mob generally, or was it Marcellus's people that would have killed Dorothy Kilgallen?
I would say it was Marcello and his operatives within the mob. You know, here's the kind of quotes that I found that just knock me out when I find them. And these come from Dorothy Kilgallen's hairdressers, one of whom, by the way, was in the same beauty salon as Gianni Russo at one point in New York City, Mark Sinclair. When she came back to New York after being in New Orleans, she said, I'm afraid for my life and my family, and I bought a gun. Her other hairdresser, Charles Simpson, said, Dorothy told him, if the wrong people knew what I know about the JFK assassination, it would cost me my life. And so she knew she was in danger. And yet, you know, people have said to me, well, if she knew that, Mark, why didn't she take care of herself? Because she thought she was so big that nobody would ever harm her, kill her, whatever. And I think it was the same mentality with Marilyn Monroe. Sure, she could threaten to go to the press. And even if she did, I'm this famous movie star, maybe the most famous movie star in the world, one of the most famous people in the world. Nobody's going to touch me. Well, they touched both women and silenced them both.
How was Dorothy Kilgallen killed?
I've been able to piece it together, basically, that she left a hotel after being on What's My Line, the quiz show, that night of November 8th, 1965. A man she met with, his name is Ron Pataki. He was a journalist in Columbus, Ohio. They were at the Hyatt Hotel there in a bar. I believe that he went ahead and somehow or another inserted into her drink phenobarbital, Nembutal, and Tylenol and Seconal, that she wobbled with him out of the hotel back to the apartment where she finally collapsed. She was found on the floor of the bathroom where she had apparently fallen. And you're going to ask me, why is Ron Pataki involved? Because he, I was told by a source that I have in the book, in Collateral Damage, a Las Vegas source who asked to not be identified because he's afraid for his life, that Ron Pataki, this journalist friend of Kilgallen's, with whom she had shared her JFK assassination investigation material, had gotten involved with the wrong people, gambling debts, whatever, and was compromised that if he would tell them what Dorothy Kilgallen was going to put in her book, that they would get him out of that trouble. And so he helped, and then he set her up for the kill. Ron Pataki is still alive today, and I've asked the New York Police Department Cold Case Squad to go after him because there's no question that he was involved in her murder. In fact, there's a poem he wrote about Dorothy's death that basically gives the details as to exactly what I just outlined in terms of how she was killed that only the killer would know. He has admitted to relatives that and I have this in Collateral Damage, that he was the last person to see her alive. And so my hope is now that this, I sent along with the letter to this detective, a 15-page document of all the evidence that I've just told you about. And I'm hoping that they will investigate Pataki now and bring him to justice.
That is extraordinary. You know, if I'm ever involved in setting somebody up for murder, I almost never put it in my poetry. I just want to be clear.
Just don't do
it's just
that.
Something I don't do on principle. Let me ask you, this is a pop quiz question for you. Let's see. How does Joey Heatherton figure in this?
Well, the only thing I know about Joey Heatherton is that she was on What's My Line, and she was a panelist at one particular time.
He was a panelist on the last show
night, the last
that Dorothy
show.
Kilgallen was
yeah,
on.
That's right.
It's hard to believe we're talking about 1965. Joey Heatherton was on. It's just so strange that people go about their lives and they're having fun. And that night she's killed, not Joey Heatherton, of course.
And I hope people will watch those Watch My Line shows. There's more than 1,000 of them up there, I think. And
don't you find it fascinating, Mark, that we were able to create genuinely entertaining TV, What's My Line and You Bet Your Life. Uh-huh. They're some of the most entertaining shows ever put on TV. And yet now they're 50 and 60 years old. It's astonishing, really, when you think of what's on TV today, that they can't come up with anything like that because they were such great shows. In any event, Dorothy Kilgallen, most people do know her from What's My Line. I was shocked when I heard that she'd been murdered and somehow it was all tied up in this. So it's just great to get this history. But, you know, when we talked about Frank Sinatra earlier, Johnny Russo clearly was implying that it really was the mob generally and not just Marcello that wanted JFK killed because he was prosecuting the whole mob. In other words, the mob in general felt that because they got him elected. I mean, what does Marcello have to do with what happened in Chicago and the deal that Joe Kennedy made with the Chicago Dirty Pauls? So doesn't it indicate that it goes beyond just Marcello?
Well, I think it does. You know, I found another book that nobody had looked at, and that was an autobiography by Joe Kennedy's wife. Joe Kennedy's wife?
Rose.
Rose, called Rose. That's the name of the book. Sorry. And, you know, nobody had ever read much about that book. Well, it showed that supposedly Rose knew about the gangsters helping them win the 1960 election, because Rose wanted to go to West Virginia, where they were helping out, and they told her not to do that. And then, you know, it goes on and everything. And basically, she knew about Sam Giancana in Chicago. She knew about these other gangsters and everything, because Joe had, you know, been involved with all of them. So it was surprising to me when I saw that, but it was just another source that nobody had ever, you know, discovered, because they hadn't done the legwork. But, you know, it really confirmed the fact of exactly what you're saying. You know, Joe Kennedy made a huge mistake. He double-crossed those guys. And I think he did that because he wanted to show them that he could, you know? But it led to the deaths of JFK, Marilyn Monroe, and Dorothy Kilgallen.
We're going to return to this subject. The book is Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Kilgallen. The author, Mark Shaw, will be right back.
And I really have enjoyed my stay, but I must be moving on.
Prescription Dispensing Labs is a national licensed pharmacy specializing in personalized prescription and natural medicine. The pharmacists at PD Labs are credited with formulating unique nasal sprays for the dreaded brain fog, and a leader in uncovering new compounds to improve your health. PD Labs is one of the first pharmacies to now offer a telemedicine group trained in prevention medicine and how to restore your health. They have developed signature professional supplements that really work rather than just promotional advertising. PD Labs Pharmacy prides itself on innovation and amazing customer service that show dedication to your health. Today, everyone needs a choice in their health care, and they bring many refreshing options on how to maximize your body's amazing capabilities to bounce back. PD Labs has an extensive network of practitioners nationwide dedicated to true health care, not sick care. Visit their website, pdlabsrx.com, for free health tips, podcasts, and their popular online store. Call 888-909-0110. Ask for Ray and tell them Eric sent you. That's 888-909-0110. Hey there, friends. Eric Metaxas here. Hey there, folks. We're talking to the author of Collateral Damage, Mark Shaw. Mark, you said that Joseph Kennedy wanted to sort of show the mobsters that, you know, now we're legitimate. My son is in the White House. My other son's the attorney general. And we're going to double cross you. But according to Johnny Russo and other things I've looked at, it seems that JFK had a reasonably good relationship with his father, Joe Kennedy. RFK evidently hated his father, Joe Kennedy. And you get the idea that RFK became attorney general apart from the will of JFK, that it was Joe Kennedy who sort of installed him and said, this is a deal. And that RFK, because he hated his father, went after the mob. In other words, it wasn't that he was doing his father's bidding, but I got the impression that he decided to do what he wanted to do. So he really ended up double crossing his brother and his father.
Well, to open the book, actually, I like to get them into the action. So it's a chronicle of the fact that after JFK was elected, there's this breakfast. John Siegenthaler, who was a very well-known journalist at the time and a confidant of the Kennedys, is there. And Joe Kennedy is saying, you know, JFK, you will appoint Bobby attorney general. And JFK said, I'm not sure I want to, and I'm not sure he wants it. And according to Siegenthaler, Joe Kennedy says, Bobby Kennedy will be attorney general. So then Bobby is attorney general. Well, I'd have to take exception with what they say that Bobby would have gone after the mafia to get back at his father. Bobby was not, he didn't hate his father. He was scared of his father. That's a difference there. And I've proven that. He was scared of Joe. If Joe told him to do something, man, he did it. If you go back to the McClellan hearings, which happened in 1959, I guess, you see Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy up on the on the panel, and Bobby Kennedy is just reaming these mobsters: Marcello, Giancana, Mickey Cohen. Made fun of Giancana. You're giggling like a little girl. Then he wrote this book, The Enemy Within, which got him to Los Angeles, that then let him see Marilyn Monroe. But he hated those guys. He hated Bobby. He hated James Hoffa. For God's sakes, Hoffa almost tried to strangle Bobby Kennedy when they had a confrontation in Washington, D.C. So all of that evil was inside towards the mafia, was in Bobby Kennedy's system when he became attorney general. And he got the position in January or February, I believe, whatever it was. In April is the first thing he did. Carlos Marcello went to the immigration office in New Orleans. I'm going to show you guys what I can do, you mafioso. And he had a plane ready, and they flew Marcello's to the jungles of Guatemala. Deported him. He was out there in the jungle for days. You know who Nick Paletti is, all right? The great writer of Wise Guy and the other great book.
Paletti, right?
Yeah, Nick Paletti. He told me, the one thing about Sicilians, and that is Marcello and these guys, you can't double cross them. Revenge is all they know about. Well, if you Marcello and you're down in the middle of the Guatemalan jungle, he got back into the United States through some friends. You're going to strike back one way or another. And he wanted to go shoot Bobby Kennedy. But again, if you shoot Bobby Kennedy, Jack Kennedy comes after you. What do? You kill Jack Kennedy. So Bobby Kennedy is powerless. End of story.
It's interesting when we think about, I just saw a really good documentary about Frank Sinatra. I think it was Netflix, two-part. And it goes into how devastated Sinatra was after he, practically delivers the presidency to JFK, or at least works hard for him. Lawford and Sammy Davis, sure, and Dean Martin make him almost a member of the Rat Pack. And then somehow they decide that the Kennedys to distance themselves from Sinatra. And there's the famous thing. He has a wing built in his home to accommodate JFK, and instead JFK stays with Bing Crosby or somebody like that. So it seems at least possible that Frank Sinatra would have been somehow in on the mob animus toward JFK, and maybe he knew what was happening. Is any speculation there?
What I can add there is it wasn't the Kennedys who told JFK to part ways with Frank Sinatra. That was Joe. Joe ruled. Joe ruled that family. I don't know if you know it or not. Of course you will. Joe Kennedy was ambassador to Britain. He had all the money and power. He wanted to be president of the United States. And then he was nice to the wrong guy, Adolf Hitler. So they brought him back to the United States. He wasn't ambassador anymore. And here's his plan. If I can't be president, my sons will. Well, Joe Kennedy Jr. was going to be president, but he died in the war. So here's what Joe thought he could do. And I'm sure of it. Jack Kennedy will be president for 4 years. Bobby Kennedy will be president for 4 years. And then Ted Kennedy will be president for 4 years. If I add that up right, that's what? That's 8, 8, and 8. That's 24 years of Kennedys in the White House. Now, you may think that's crazy, but Joe Kennedy didn't. He thought that was possible. A dynasty of Kennedys.
Well, I'd like to think that it was possible. It's an amazing thing how wrong that all went. People talk about the curse of the Kennedys.
And oh, my.
I think that there may be something to that. I mean, you'd have to talk about what that even means, when you talk about a curse, because it gets into some dark spiritual waters. But it is at least interesting to look into. We're going to continue our conversation, folks, talking to the author of Collateral Damage. I think his name is Mark Shaw. Let's see. Stick around. You eyeball, he won't.
Folks, we're talking to the author of a brand new book, Collateral Damage. The author is Mark Shaw. Mark, we're really getting into the weeds, which is so much fun here. You were talking about Joseph Kennedy, the patriarch. Hard to imagine a darker figure. I mean, here's a guy involved in bootlegging. I mean, would you say that he was a criminal, or he just associated with criminals?
I think he was like a lot, you know, back then criminals or let's say the mafia or whatever, those guys were celebrities in many ways. Gianni can tell you that. They weren't looked upon as bad guys. I mean, Dorothy Kilgallen, a friend of hers was Frank Costello. She used to have lunch with him, you know, and get information.
I haven't heard that. She would have lunch with Frank Costello?
Yeah. And he gave her you'll see in the book, he gave her a diamond ring. And it was so big, the diamond, that they went ahead and separated and made it into a bracelet or something. That's confirmed by her hairdresser. I mean, they were celebrities back then. Melvin Belli was a wannabe a mafia guy. There were many people like to hang around them or say, Sinatra liked to do that. He would brag about the fact that he knew all these bad guys. It was kind of like an honor of some sort. And Joe Kennedy loved that during the bootlegging days and after that. And so all he had to do was say to Frank Sinatra, get in touch with Giancana, Marcello, those guys, help us win the 60 election, and then we'll leave those guys alone. You know, these people are like basketball players or athletes. They think rules don't apply to them, all right? And so they can do anything they want to. I'll leave the former president alone, but there are people who believe that they
can
do anything.
Listen, I like Ike, okay? You don't say one bad thing about Eisenhower. Go ahead.
I will not. I always liked Ike. But, you know, they think that they play by their own rules. And Joe Kennedy thought that, yeah, you know, I'm going to show the mafia I'm bigger than you guys. I'm going to sick Bobby on you. Well, it cost him his son. It cost him JFK.
Well, yeah.
And he knew it. Excuse me. One more thing. He knew it. When they showed him the New York Times front page, JFK killed. I have two sources that were right there that quote this. He just slumped over, threw the newspaper on the floor. Obviously, he was in the effects of a stroke that he had had. But he knew, he had to have known that his strategy backfired and that he didn't really show the mafia he was boss. They showed him who was boss by killing JFK.
Well, again, Johnny Russo makes it sound like it was different. In other words, that it was RFK trying to get back at his father by going after the mob. But you're saying no, that according to you, it was Joe Kennedy himself putting his son RFK up to it.
I certainly think so. That would have been, I mean, I respect Gianni's opinion, but that would have been, you know, just suitable Joe conduct. You know, I got all the money in the world. I can't be president, but I made my son president. And now it's like I am president. And I've seen several quotes that say, and suitable ones, incredible ones, where Joe Kennedy was basically living his life through his sons. Okay? And that's what he thought he could continue to do for probably, 24 years if all Kennedys won the presidency.
I interviewed Caroline Kennedy at a Socrates in the City event about 2.5 years ago, and I didn't ask her one difficult question. And yet she was nonetheless impressively evasive, even with the simplest questions. And I can understand at this point in history how difficult it would be for someone. I don't even know why she submitted it to the interview to begin with. But it is interesting because the darkness is so deep and so horrifying that I would think you'd spend a lot of time simply avoiding any of that stuff. I don't know if I were she, whether I would read the book that you had sent. It's just so, it's tawdry, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Your writing is not tawdry, but the facts are tawdry.
I'm told that her husband has read both books, but that she didn't. But that's a tribute to you, Eric. You are a man of good reputation, a man of the truth and everything, that Caroline Kennedy would talk to you. I would bet that, you know, you're one of very few that's ever happened with, and she must have trusted you some way or another. So I think that's a feather in your cap for sure. You should feel honored about
well,
that.
Well, I don't, as I say, I never
am interested in doing, you know, anything, any gotcha stuff. And I'm not a hard hitting journalist. I like having conversations with people. And I realize that, you know, I'm not the kind of person who's going to try to trap them into saying anything. For example, I could have asked you a question like, why don't you write your next book on who killed Ashley Babbitt? I would never do such a thing in an interview like this because I just want us to have a good time. So I'm not going to ask you that question. So you don't have to prepare an answer. I will never ask that question.
I do
want to say that the darkness, it's depressing when you think that a man that is on the 50 cent piece would have been involved in this. And I think what it really does is it leads to a jaundiced view of all the great institutions. I mean, I'm proud to be an American. I believe in American exceptionalism in the sense that we are the nation that has held up the torch of liberty. We've never been perfect, but I would go so far as to say, I do believe God has had his hand on this nation, that we've been outrageously blessed and we've been able to be a blessing in many ways. And so when people are confronted with these facts about some of their leaders, particularly, you know, the much vaunted figure, the martyr practically of JFK, it is right. depressing and it undermines the whole country. That's sort of inevitable for me.
Well, it does. The world stopped when JFK was killed. It's an event of monumental importance. And I get, guy 73 yesterday just sent me an email from Canada, and it's always bothered him. And he's read one of my books now, and he feels a little bit better knowing more about what he thinks happened. So I hope I provide stop and think books, you know, and people can read. They don't have to agree with me, but they can read what my research has produced. And hopefully, it makes a difference in their lives, because there's so many people that are so disappointed as they should be, not only with JFK's death, but Dorothy's. And I think the same thing will happen with Marilyn's death now, where people will really feel like, hey, we lost really a remarkable woman. And that should have never happened in 1962.
A quick yes or no answer, since we run out of time. But is it worth reading Norman Mailer's biography of Marilyn Monroe? Yes or no?
I don't know. I'd have to say I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't, again, read other people's books because I want my material to be fresh.
Right.
But I will say this. I'd appreciate people not doing so, because they will try to compare his writing with mine. And I'll lose that battle for sure.
I don't think so. I think you're being overly generous. Mark Shaw, a true pleasure. God bless you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
You sheltered me from harm.
Hola, Alben.
Hola to you, too.
Quiero invitarte a mi fiesta de cumpleaños.
I agree 100%.
Because I am old.
Okay.
Okay, Alben.
Yes, sir.
We've got a lot of fun stuff in this. This is like an entertaining segment we're going to do right now before we go into the substantive hour two.
I just realized that card I got in the mail. I was telling you about this before we went on the air today. You get to a certain age, and then you get advertisements in the mail that are like a little creepy.
You didn't. What'd you do with it?
I hung on. Oh, here it is.
Here,
if you're on video, if you're watching on video, you could see this card. I actually got this from a cemetery. Okay, and they said they're having an open house weekend, and they
wait. Alben, this is what happened with Fun Fact Friday. I got to shut you down.
Okay, shut me down.
And I got to explain to the people. Alben is not joking. It's funny, but this is 100% true. You got to tell people, this is real. You're not making this up, man.
Yeah.
This is not a joke.
They send it to the Sadar family or current resident, okay? Because in case
you already died while that was in the mail.
To another cemetery. It's an open house weekend where I can actually check out their mausoleums, their traditional cemetery, the crematorium, all these options.
Wait a minute.
This is...
This is not a joke, but you make it sound like you're goofing
but you get
around.
To a certain age,
this is
and
real.
You're open. You're fair game.
Okay, it's
right?
called Gate of Heaven Cemetery Open House Weekend.
Yeah,
only the dead need apply.
That's right.
But if you're living and you want to make plans for dead people, you can go there. There's an open house. We don't want to give these dates, but it says this is not a joke.
No,
this is not a. It seems like a joke. It says crypt and grave discounts on open house dates only, exclamation point.
50 cents off, right?
And you're like, these sons of guns, I got there one day late, and I got to pay full price for the crypt. Man, you're ripping me off.
Okay.
When I'm dead, I'm going to haunt you bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, begin your pre-planning arrangements today. Many choices are available. Mausoleum crypts. Yep. Interior and exterior.
You can check them out inside.
Traditional cemetery plots, double and triple depth. Oh, the savings.
I'm going to go four times deep this time, yeah.
Cremation options available. Family plots.
Fun for the whole family this weekend, folks.
I mean, but this is in Hawthorne, New York.
Okay.
Gateofheavennewyork.com.
Well, at least it's a gate to heaven, right? It could have been another kind of gate.
That's pretty presumptuous of them.
That's right.
It could be a gate to purgatory because it's a Catholic cemetery. Do you ever think about that?
All right, Alvin,
we got to get serious. I mean, now we're not making that up, but it's hilarious. Okay, I got to read another letter. I find this funny. Dear Mr. Metaxas, I appreciate listening to your videos podcast while working around the house. But yesterday I listened to your interview with Dr. Simone Gold while milking a cow. This woman makes it seem like it's just something that just happened. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
Obviously, we have a lot of dairy farmers in our listenership.
Yeah.
And the cow's name Molly, and Tess from Alberta, Canada writes, I'm not sure what Molly thought of it. I forgot to ask, but it probably made her day. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. God bless you. Sincerely, Tess, a young adult from Alberta, Canada.
Wow, thank you.
First of all, as a young adult,
let
me just say thank you for listening to this program, because I was once a young adult and I didn't listen to programs like this. And so we really appreciate it.
Okay.
Alvin, we've got a lot more to talk about.
Father's Day weekend coming up, so you got to go to salemnow.com and check out The Streets Were My Father. You got to check that out. CSI, you got to give today. CSI, free a slave for $250 at CSI.
We're not making this up, ladies and gentlemen. This is all true.
That's right.
CSI, you go to MetaxasTalk.com. If you want to do something amazing, and I urge you to get your kids involved, to make them understand that there's evil in the world, but there is good, God's good in the world, and that we can do something to fight the evil. And we can do something very specifically in this case. Go to CSI. At MetaxasTalk.com. It's an astonishing opportunity that we have to fight evil. We don't just have to complain about it. We can actually do something about it and stop complaining about it. All right. In hour two, we're talking about Hitler's war machine.
Wow. That's a good one.
A lot of laughs coming up in hour two.